Welcome to the Create the Future with Rick Williams podcast, conversations with leaders who made difficult decisions and built lasting legacies. I am Rick Williams. I speak and write about how leaders can be more successful. My best-selling book, Create the Future, is your essential guidebook for making difficult decisions. This podcast is an opportunity for me and for you to hear how leaders with a wide variety of backgrounds have managed the challenges they faced, made difficult decisions, and had courage when going forward is tough. You will learn important lessons from other leaders. You will find that engaging with our 30-minute conversation will be a great investment of your valuable time. So let's get started. Welcome to the Create the Future podcast. I'm Rick Williams. The Create the Future podcast is a forum for leaders like you to share their stories of making difficult decisions for their company or any organization, and in some cases for themselves. My goal with this podcast is to bring stories to you of leaders making tough decisions for their companies so you will learn how to be a better decision for yourself. We have a great guest today who, with a compelling story to tell about decisions he had to make and sharing the lessons that he learned. I'm excited to introduce you to Paul Thornton. Paul is an author and a leadership coach. Paul, welcome to the Create the Future podcast. Introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your story and your journey up to this point.
Okay, thanks, first of all, Rick, for having me on. I appreciate that. My story, I spent roughly 20 years in corporate America, and I was involved with several senior leadership teams. I was in the HR function. I got a close-up view of strategic planning and dealing with conflict and developing teams and performance management and things like that. After that, I went into college teaching. I taught for 20 years, and I taught courses in leadership, management, organizational behavior, things like that. Along the way, I've done a lot of speaking at conferences, and I've written a lot of books. I like writing. It helps me clarify my thinking, and my thinking helps me then be a better writer. So it's kind of a reciprocal arrangement there. So I am semi-retired now. I don't like the word retired because I want to continue to add value and make a difference and things like that. So I do still do a lot of writing, articles and books. I speak on podcasts and at conferences and things like that. So that's kind of what's happening now.
Well, you know, you and I could have a whole separate conversation about writing, particularly writing a book, which is a lot harder than people think. I do a lot of, I've had lots and lots of articles and blogs and that posted over the years. Writing a book is much harder to do. So I'm gonna give you a softball here and say, you know, what are your one or two, you know, favorite best books that you've written? At least we'll get that on the table. So, I want to acknowledge what you've accomplished with this.
Well, I've written 30 books, which is a lot, and the one that really I think is probably my best point or best message is the one on leadership styles. It highlights really three basic styles: directing, discussing, and delegating. Yeah. And I think leaders use those styles every day, multiple times. There's something that every leader needs to be good at. And they sound easy, but you know, it's a little bit tricky sometimes knowing when to use each style and some of the pitfalls or traps that can occur when you're, you know, using that style. We know some people don't like to delegate and some people over-delegate to their one or two superstars, things like that. Discussing style, the leader is asking questions, but we know we've all been in those meetings where the discussion goes on and on and on. At some point, you got to make a decision. You know, And directing, you need to be clear and you need to provide the right details so the person knows exactly what they need to do. Some leaders leave out details. Some present too many details. So you get communication breakdowns and things like that. So that's probably my number one book. My number two book, I wrote a book on alignment. I think alignment is a very, very, very important topic. Organizations that are aligned, meaning all of the pieces are working together in a very synchronous or integrated fashion, produce the best results. They're very effective and very efficient. So I wrote a book on that. I think that's one worth reading as well.
Well, that's great. Maybe we'll come back to a little bit of this because I've written a lot about understanding your own skill set and leadership styles, and don't pretend that you're somebody different than you are and get other people to compliment you. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah,
I know you wanted to come on the podcast and talk about some AA difficult or other difficult decisions you've made and lessons learned, because that's the core conversation for this podcast is how leaders like you have made tough decisions, what went right, what went wrong, as a way of helping other people think about their own decision-making and prepare themselves when they have to make really tough decisions, when they have to get it right. So tell us the story you want to share.
Okay. So my story goes back to when I was in high school, long time ago.
Yeah.
I was elected to be the co-captain of my hockey team. And I was more motivated by being liked than doing what I should have been doing. So I didn't really enforce the rules. I didn't set a very good example. I didn't model the behavior that I wanted or that the team wanted. So it sounds like a simple lesson, and I think it is, but if you're motivated, if a leader is motivated to be liked, they end up not having the difficult conversations, not giving people candid feedback, not challenging people to pursue stretch goals. So I had to learn. You know, I knew I wasn't doing the right thing as the co-captain. You know, I knew I was not setting a good example. I knew I wasn't stepping up and doing what I should. So it kind of got me interested in this idea of leadership. What do effective leaders do? And at the same time, my team was always finishing like in fourth or third place in the league, but there were two teams that were always number one and number two. And it got me thinking, you know, why is that? Because the players on my team were as good as the kids on the other team. So it got me wondering, what do the top coaches and leaders do to bring out the best in people? So I went off to college and took a lot of courses in leadership and management and studied what great leaders do and what have you. And, you know, a key theme that kept coming back was you got to live your values. Well, at that point, you know, I was like, well, what are my values? What do I really care about? What's most important? And I had to do a lot of thinking and reflecting to clarify what was most important to me. And then secondarily, how am I going to live these values going forward?
Mm-hmm.
So at age 27, I became the varsity hockey coach. I was coaching and teaching at a college. I became the varsity hockey coach of a team out in Western Mass. And I decided, you know, I had to live my values, hold people accountable, you know, don't be motivated by being liked by everyone, because leaders are not going to be liked by everyone. So things went along pretty good, but I had a defining moment. We had a game up at Norwich University, which is in Vermont. And I told the players, this was during semester break, I told the players the bus to leave for the game at 3 o'clock. They had no reason not to be ready to go at 3 o'clock on the bus. So at 3 o'clock, every player is on the bus except for three. And I look out the back of the window of the bus and I see three of my players walking very slowly, nonchalantly down, like they didn't have a care in the world and they didn't care that everybody else was on the bus ready to go. So the bus driver said to me, you know, what do you want me to do? I said, it's 3 o'clock, let's go. Now, the three players were maybe 100 yards away from the bus. So he started the bus up and we took off. Now, at this point, the three players are jogging and then sprinting, trying to catch up to the bus, but they didn't. So we left and went. So I had, you know, feelings in my stomach like, oh, shit, did I do the right thing? Should I have waited for them? And again, this idea of being liked and all that came into play a little bit. My assistant coach, after we had gone a couple miles, my assistant coach came up to the front of the bus and said, do you realize the three players we left behind, two of them are starting defensemen, and one of them is our second line center? And so I said, well, we'll have to make do. And so anyway, we went to the game. We made adjustments, and fortunately, we had a good game, and the three players did show up at the game after the first period. But my point in all this was I took a stand, and I made a decision not based on being liked, but on doing the right thing. They all knew the bus was leaving at 3. They weren't there, so I moved forward. I think the point of all this is that leaders need to be clear on their values, their priorities, and they need to hold themselves accountable, and they need to hold their team members accountable to the standards and rules and expectations that have been set. So that's kind of my story of how I first got into being a leader and what it meant and what I learned.
Well, a great story. I have to say, as I'm listening to you, I'm reminded of the phrase that that I use and others use, and that is success is a choice. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about those three players, and their concept of what success was for them was sort of going along and being a player, even their, you know, maybe on the starting line as a player, but they haven't really decided to be a champion. They had not chosen success. Their concept of success for themselves was to be a good player. Their concept of themselves was not to be a champion. And you were very clearly messaging to them that I want champions on my bus. That's what you were messaging to them. Just stay on that for 1 minute. What was the interaction with them at the game and after the game?
They apologized to me personally. They apologized to the team and they said it wouldn't happen again. And from that point on, no player was ever late for the bus. Matter of fact, most players were on the bus when we had away games. Most players were on the bus probably 15 minutes before it was going to leave. So it sent a very important message that rules matter, responsibility matters, and you need to put the team ahead of your own, you know, individual little issues that might come up. Now, there can be cases, certainly, you know, Rick, that the person might have a problem, you know, the car breaks down or there's some emergency that, you know, certainly you got to be understanding as a leader. But these three players had no excuse to be late, just absolutely no reason, no excuse whatsoever. So anyway, they were humble, and like I said, they did apologize, and you know they were fine after that. So they learned a lesson, you know.
Well, okay. So talk about your experience going through this. So this is me segmenting this in a way you may not do yourself, and you can do it in a different way if it's better. But I'm hearing you as having made two decisions. One was, damn it, we're going to make this into a, I'm going to say, championship team. And the first step of doing that is to say, everybody's, this bus is leaving at 3 p.m. And then the second decision was, you're on the bus. Three of your teammates, three of your team members are not on the bus, and you said, driver, let's get going. We're leaving. Those are two decisions. Talk about them a little bit separately. Did you talk with your assistant coaches or the school or your wife, or I mean, how did you go about saying, okay, I'm going to do this? I mean, talk about your experience making that decision.
Well,
The
on
two
the on,
decisions separately is really what I
yeah
want to talk about also.
on the bus, I was, having those thoughts of, should I leave them behind? What impact is that going to have on the team? Will this hurt the team more than really teach them a lesson? And this idea too of being liked. That was a lingering thing for me. If I leave the three of them, they're not going to like me. I'm really punishing them, so to speak. So what's the big deal if the bus leaves 5 minutes after three or 10 minutes after three? But I decided no. I had said 3 o'clock clearly, and I made sure everyone understood it. And I went back to the idea that, as a leader, you need to have standards, and you need to hold people accountable to those standards if you're going to be respected and you can elevate the team's performance to, the desired goals. Discipline, and this is a small example, but discipline is an important part of success. So hopefully it was teaching that lesson. So that was kind of what I was thinking at the time, but I remember it wasn't that hard for me to make the decision. I thought about a few things quickly, but I then said very quickly to the bus driver, "Yep, let's go. It's 3 o'clock. We're going." And that was it. So,
So I, again, there's no right or wrong at any of this. It's just trying to develop kind of what happened for you. So you said that there were assistant coaches on the bus with you. Am I hearing that you didn't say, hey guys, assistant coaches, those guys aren't here. What do you think we should do? Or I'm thinking about this. Was there any of that conversation going on or not?
No, there wasn't. And when I think about it now, I have a book on the leadership process, and in the middle of my model, it says involve others. And I think the best leaders do involve others and get their thoughts and ideas and input before they make a decision in general. But I also think there's times when, as a leader, you need to be definitive. You can't meet with a group of people and get their input. You have to make the decision right then and there, And so I don't know. You got to balance that. You got to know when you got to hold firm to your values and make a clear decision. It can be a very defining moment for you, the leader. And there's other times when you need to talk to your inner circle or the right people to get their thoughts and ideas and input and that type of thing,
Talk about your own feelings. Again, we're trying, you're what I'm hearing you say is that the important leadership decision moment was on the bus telling the bus driver to get going. That was the seminal decision you made. I heard you say that you were afraid. I mean, one of the things that was in your mind is, if I do this, those players aren't going to like me. And that was something important to you, because that is what you were thinking about. Were you a, did you have so fear that the that players wouldn't like you. What about the school administrator? Were you afraid that the school administrator would come back and say, you left these students on the road while they're walking to the bus? I mean, talk about your feelings that you had to deal with yourself as you were making this decision.
Good question, Rick. Well, going back again to my high school when I was the co-captain, the motive or need to be liked was very strong. You know, that was like the strongest motivation I had. But over the years, I learned and realized to be a leader, you need to be clear on your values and principles and follow those. So on the bus sitting there, I had a fleeting thought of like, oh, they're going to be pissed off at me and they're not going to like me. But it was only a fleeting thought. The more important message in my brain was, no, we need to have standards and rules. And I gave them clear directions. And every, 20 of the 23 players on the team are on the bus ready to go. So why am I going to punish them and make them wait another 10 minutes when they're ready to go, you know? And no, I didn't really think at all about the athletic director or school administrators, what they would think or their reaction. That thought didn't enter my mind at all. As I say, I just thought they had fair warning. They're not here. They should be here. We're going. So that was it.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm reminded of one of the earlier podcast guests I had who had and you'll see where my question's coming from when I hear the story, but he had retired as from a significant career with the Marine Corps, was based in San Diego, and was now in his first job after his career in the Marine Corps, and he said, you know, I don't like these people I'm working with at his job. I think I can set up a company doing senior level recruiting. His last tour with the Corps had been as in the recruiting in their recruiting side of the Marines. So he was now, he'd never done anything like this. He'd spent, I don't know, 15 years or so in the Marine Corps, had never even worked for a private sector company except for this short stint that he said he didn't like it. And he wanted to start his own company. And I asked him, I said, well, where did you get the courage to do that? And I thought he was going to say, well, in the Corps, they teach us to train ourselves and be prepared for risks and, go ahead. That's not what he said at all. He said, I got my courage from my wife. I talked to her about what I was trying to do, my feelings, why I thought this was worth doing, and she gave him the courage to do it. And it is a really wonderful story, and I'm wondering if you thought about that you were doing anything courageous in taking this step, which antagonized students, and we know how important parents to students are in, in shouting what they want for their kids.
Yeah, right.
And administrators will come and second guess every single thing you do. I mean, how did you think about that for yourself?
I think, going back to being a leader, you got to believe in yourself and you have to believe in your values and core beliefs. And it takes, I think, a lot of reflection and even discussing it those with people, and they get fine-tuned over time. We take action, we think about it. That's not quite what I should have done. I want to tweak that if that comes up in the future. So I think over time we get clearer and clearer on what do we believe, what do we stand for, where do we draw the line, And I think that kind of happened with me. And it can be a very slow process that, it takes time to get clarity in what you think and believe. And it's a slow moving thing. So that's kind of what the way I look at it. I did reflection. I did talk to people about, things along my leadership journey and ask questions. My wife was a senior executive at a company in Connecticut. So she had many leadership challenges that we would often discuss and talk about. And I would discuss my situations as a teacher, an executive in an aerospace company, and things like that. So I'd have a good opportunity because she had a big organization, 800 people in her organization. So she was in a role that had, many issues that came up day to day, week to week. And we had a lot of great discussions over the years on what did you do, why'd you do it, what would you have done differently next time, things like that. And also, she became a teacher, a college teacher, about the same time I did. So again, we had a lot of opportunity to talk about our teaching experiences. She was teaching the same course as I was for the most part. So again, it was a great opportunity to talk about how would you handle this? What would you do here? And that type of thing. So we had that advantage.
Well, okay, that's fascinating. It's sort of a career path for you that you have a living with you person who's sharing your professional path with you and bounce ideas off all the time. It sounds very enriching to me. I'm wondering how I would experience that in my life, whether I would say, "Oh my God, I need to get away from my work," or "Wow, this is really exciting. I get to go to whole new dimensions in my thinking about my work."
It worked out. It worked out very well because we each could say, I had this situation and this is what I did. What would you have done? And we weren't defensive or we weren't trying to one up each other. We were just open and would share kind of what we thought and felt about the situation and explore why we did what we did. So that was always helpful to probe a little bit and get a clear understanding of why did you do it? Why did you think that was the right thing to do? That type of thing. So it was good.
Well, let me as we have a couple more minutes, we can go here, and I want to go to another dimension in your experience making these decisions. And that is I one of the things that we're talking about the leader's responsibility to make difficult decisions. The leader is also there is, has a responsibility for creating and articulating a vision of where the organization is going and the roles that everybody plays in getting there. And I'm sure that's been part of some of your writing. I'm wondering whether how much of that vision creation, and I don't mean that in just an abstract sense. We talked about are we going to be champions or not, but you said I set down rules and procedures that I expected people to follow, and if they didn't follow them, that was a conflict with where you, Paul, saw the team going, and then you were in this case said we're this bus is leaving because you're not complying with the rules that we set up. Talk a little bit about what you had done leading up to this to establish a vision for the team. I mean, what was it going to be a championship team, or are we going to try to get better? How were you communicating with the team? How were you communicating with the parents? How were you communicating? I mean, how and what were you communicating with the parents and with the school administrators? Did you see this as sort of something that was just going on in your mind? No, it wasn't. Or were you saying, okay, I, Paul, have a vision of where the team's going. Here's what we're going to do as far as process rules and regulations to get there, which you communicate. Just talk about all of that dimension of it.
Yeah, I think the rules and all that are really the tactics that you're putting in place to achieve your vision. I think you're right. At a higher level, it's much more what's the vision? What's the strategy? How are you going to make it work? I would the team I took over the previous season, they had 9 wins and 18 losses. So they had a very poor record. My goal, thinking about it myself, was I want to have a winning season and I want to be above 500 and I want to, well, that was kind of my initial one. I did talk to my athletic director about that. I did talk to my assistant coaches, and then we had a team meeting. So in the team meeting, we talked about, you know, what is our goal for the year? What do we want to accomplish? And various people spoke up and said things. And one player said, we want to win every game. Every game. That's our goal. And so we got their input, and we didn't formalize it, so to speak, but we had a vision that we are going to be successful and we are going to make the playoffs at the end of the season. So that was kind of the high level. And we had a particular strategy that we were using, offensive and defensive. It was a color-coded system. I won't go into all the details, but we had a very precise strategy we were putting in place to achieve that goal. And we would videotape the games, and after the game, we would watch it, and I would have all the players in a classroom, and we would critique different parts of the game, and we would ask questions of the team members, you know, what did you do here? Why did you do that? What could you have done? You know, that type of thing. So it was getting them to look at their behavior and critique what they did or didn't do. And it was a teachable moment for a lot of them. And that's how we got them to understand fully the strategy we were trying to implement and make happen. The next year, same type of thing we did. And the team got better each year. We went from our first year, we had 14 wins and 12 losses. And then we had 16 wins and 8 losses. Then we had 18 wins and 5 losses. So we kept improving, and we did make the playoffs, but we did get beat first round in the playoffs by Army 1 year and by University of Massachusetts at Lowell the second year. And after I did it for 4 years, an opportunity came along for me to enter a corporate position in training and development, which was probably doubled my salary. So it was appealing. And I took that. And as I said, I went into the corporate world for 20 years. But my interest in leadership and what great leaders do and what great coaches do and what great parents and teachers do has always been with me. And I've been studying that really for the last 35, 40 years. So,
okay, what do you want to say to the person that says, Paul and Rick, why should I be listening to any of this? You're talking about a hockey sports team in college. What does that have to do with me and my company when I have to decide whether I'm going to fire this goddamn employee who's my best salesperson, but is harassing all of the women in the office? Or I need to make a bet on whether we can launch this new product. And if it's successful, it'll be great. If not, it might put the whole company at risk. I mean, what does any of this have to do with me as a business owner or leader who has to make those kinds, who's dealing with those kinds of issues?
Yeah, good question. Whatever decision you're making, whether it's a business decision or coaching decision, you need to be clear on your values and your beliefs. And the more clarity you have, the more effective you're going to be at analyzing the decision and thinking about the options and what have you. And to your point earlier, Rick, I think it is critically important to involve the right people to get some input and ideas from them before you make a decision. You know, and in the business world, I mean, I would often consult with my colleagues and my boss and other people, my employees, to get their thoughts and ideas on things before I would make a decision. So the process you use to make the decision is important. The framework you have regarding your beliefs and values is also critically important. So those things can help anyone be a better decision maker.
I think it is so important. In truth, most successful leaders start their life playing sports of one sort or another. They learn to work with other people in difficult situations. They learn to be better themselves and challenge themselves in what they're doing. They learn how to be a leader and not afraid that, oh gee, if I do something, nobody will like me. I'm just exactly the point you're making. In truth, the lessons that you learn engaged in sports are the fundamental truths of successful leadership. I'm a sailboat racer, and I written an article, and the title of the article was "Everything I Know About Leadership I Learned on My Sailboat." This was as an adult, not as a student, but the same principles are true. And I will just say that I have thought for a long time that America's secret weapon has been its women, and the introduction of women into competitive sports. I mean, really saying you have a real opportunity to participate and excel has transformed the role of women in our society and in our economy, and brought out those women who can be great leaders and contributors in ways that, you know, they just weren't allowed to before. I mean, I just think that sports is fundamental to the enormous progress that women have made in America. And you know, it's now gone around the world. But
I couldn't agree more. I think sports is such a great way for people to learn discipline, goal setting, accepting feedback, practicing continuous improvement, you know, setting goals for yourself, things like that. And I also, the prep schools in Massachusetts or New England make it mandatory that the students, all of them, play 3 sports per year. You know, they play a fall, winter, and spring sport. And I think in my personal case, I think I learned as much playing hockey and running track and what have you as I did in the classroom. Although I did have a few great classes, but those things taught me a tremendous amount. And I've seen that with my grandsons. I have 5 grandsons, and they're very much into sports. And I see how they've grown and developed after they've participated in, you know, the various sports they're into. So it's a great learning tool, especially in self-development, but also developing your leadership skills. I think it's very important.
Right, exactly. Well, Paul, let's wrap up with this. I think this has been a wonderful conversation. I want to deeply thank you for sharing your experiences. I know you've made a valuable contribution to the understanding of what it takes to be successful as a leader for those who are tuning into the podcast. So if people want to learn more about you, to be in contact with you, how can they do that?
I post frequently on LinkedIn. Once, 2, 3, 4 times a week, I post an article or comment or something. I also publish a monthly article in Smart Brief on Leadership. That's a very good resource for any leader at any level to get some good insights and ideas on what they can do to be a better leader. So those two are good ways. I also, as I said, I've written 30 books on leadership, and they're all available on Amazon. And as I mentioned earlier, I would highly recommend the books on leadership styles and alignment. Those are two that I think are worth reading. They're all worth reading, but those are two good ones.
Okay, well, that's great. So for those listening, Paul is a great resource, and take advantage of it. And you can contact him on LinkedIn. And again, it's Paul Thornton. So I want to thank our audience for tuning in today, and I hope you've gotten value from listening to this conversation. I know I have. If you have a compelling story to tell about a difficult decision you've made for your organization or for yourself, and you want to share it, please come on and apply to be a guest on the podcast. So you can go to rickwilliamsleadership.com and then go to the podcast section on the on my website. Again, that's rickwilliamsleadership.com. So remember that you create the future by the decisions you make today. Take time to get the important decisions right, and yes, have some fun along the way. Until next time, be well. What an interesting and inspiring conversation. I hope you found it as valuable as I did. Thank you for listening. Let me know if you have a compelling story to tell about making tough choices for your organization or for yourself. Coming on my podcast is a way to share what you have learned with a wider audience. If someone you know would be a great guest, please make an introduction. I welcome leaders with a story to tell and important learning to share. You can contact me about the podcast at podcast.rickwilliamsleadership.com. That's podcast.rickwilliamsleadership.com. Please share the link to my podcast with your colleagues. They will thank you for getting them access to these valuable conversations. And finally, please give us a great rating on and subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Just search for Create the Future with Rick Williams. Thank you for listening to Create the Future with Rick Williams podcast, conversations with leaders who make difficult decisions and build lasting legacies.